Thanks for listening to the Tokyo Demons Free Talk for Chapter 5. I'm Rebecca Scobel, the director of the audiobook, and I'm here as usual with Leanne, the author.
Hello.
And today we have a very special guest, all the way from Texas, our illustrator, Rem.
Hi.
So you've been our illustrator since almost the beginning of the project. You did some images for us, like, way, way back in the day. Do you remember when that was?
2007, I think.
Ooh, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was the latest. I think that was the last time we did an actual proposal for this as a novel. And you had been on for a couple revisions as well. So maybe 2005?
Yeah, it was. I need to revise some art, I think.
you actually did some of the character designs, because in the early stages, when this was still a proposal, you did Sachi, Kyoshi, Toya, Kato, a bunch of the main in pencil. And then when you were doing the new character designs, you did the most beautiful gray tones and inked. And then you were like, let me just redo those. So I was going to put up the pencil ones. And you were like, no. And it's funny how different your style was this time around.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was like everyone was real squat. And,
a little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, and I made them maybe too tall, but I was kind of, like, thinking, like, you know, Otome games, the guys are kind of stretchy.
So yeah.
So the proportions maybe are a little taller that time around. But, yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of difference between that many years. So
yeah.
I was a little embarrassed. I didn't want you to put the sketches up.
we've occasionally put up sort of raw pictures of Rem's stuff, like either early versions or sketches, and usually I ask permission first because I know that some people don't want... We think everything you send us, even the stuff that's, quote, not right, is still beautiful beyond belief. So even those old character designs, I loved them. I always thought they were great, you know, like a really cute... And they're in the same poses as they were when you did the new ones, because Sachi with his little arms crossed and Kyoshi kind of looking off at a flying butterfly somewhere.
What?
he's kind of like looking like they're... Like, oh. Off into the distance.
Like, butterfly? What butterfly?
There's no actual butterfly. It's like, it was a hypothetical butterfly.
Thank you.
Well, we already warned everybody that a lot of this was going to be us gushing at how amazing you are.
Okay.
yeah.
Great.
But I think it's interesting that after you had done that initial design work, and that ISA picture that we use so frequently, the color shot, the dynamic one with the... The insects flying around her. Mm-hmm. That one we have used. That was the original one that you did because it was so awesome that we didn't want you touching it. You can tell a little bit her. She does look a little more squat than in some of the other illustrations, but it's
a little foreshortened, so I guess it works.
Yeah, exactly. And the angle kind of masked subtle changes.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we came back to you, when we decided to serialize this online, you were right between two big projects, so you did it all at once in a very... How long did you spend to do all the illustrations for and most of the character designs for book one?
I don't remember, because when I do things super fast, I don't remember how I did it. It's just like this big blank spot. Yeah. So I do remember working on the dormitory picture with Joe, and I do remember that because I was spending too long on the background, like, fiddling, and I knew I had to hurry, so it must have been just a couple days or something, really.
It might have been. You were doing them kind of in batches, and you would send us, like, several sketches at once and be like, what changes should be made?
Yeah, I was trying to do them in spurts. I know that a lot of the pictures I would do in one night. I think I did two in one night, but just, like, real fast, because I didn't have to worry about a whole lot of the formatting things that I have to do for manga, so yeah.
I wouldn't feel confident enough to keep it the size that it is if we didn't have your artwork helping, because part of the problem we've had from the very beginning is how do we introduce the people in this story without everybody getting... hella confused. Like, there's just...
Well, it doesn't help that everybody has black hair, guys.
Yeah. I know.
Kids dye their hair nowadays.
I know. Particularly around 2000... It takes place in 2002, and that was the era where I felt like every young Japanese person dyed their hair that kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Brassy.
I had all the magazines, and yes, everybody, boys, too, dyed their hair. Blonde, even. So it's like, let's keep... Wait, no, it's Joe. Yes, Joe. Like, when they were at the booth and they were trying to decide which buttons were which characters, they had to ask me.
Oh.
It's like, well, I remember this is this because of what the picture was.
Yeah, no, it is. That's definitely something we're going to remedy in Tokyo Ghosts when we're I mean, it'll be easier once they're adults, that they're going to have different, very more obvious.
Has Kiyoshi just shave one side of his head, and the part that covers his eye is still the same?
That's definitely a possibility. I was thinking, like, who would in character kind of put in highlights or frosted tips, or in retrospect, I probably would have, just because you're right, more kids were bleaching. I always consider bleaching your hair kind of a statement, but you're right, in Japan, it's apparently back then, it was really very common.
Like, everybody, yeah.
Yeah. But also because, like, Joe and Aisei especially were trying to be under the radar, so they were trying to be as kind of traditional Japanese as possible. Whereas some characters like Sachi, who's, like, a little bit, he's not, like, a fashionista, but, like, he's a little bit more style conscious. And I think in some of the later stuff, and the whole thing with his glasses coming on and off is part of a reflection of that, that he has terrible eyesight, but he does contacts versus glasses.
Well, you know, glasses are so popular in Japan right now.
Yeah, you know, the Megane.
Megane love, yes. Yeah. So, you know, he could wear jazzier glasses.
Yeah, I think he might later. I mean, at this point in the story, there's no way he can go to an eye doctor, because they can't really necessarily leave the house anymore.
Right.
But, the later stuff you've done with him with the glasses, I really, really like. And I think... based on the feedback we've gotten on the site, they're like, Megane Sachi! Like, good, now we know who that one is. But he always had spiked hair. Like, he wasn't one of the really tough ones. It's like, Kiyoshi and Joe.
Mostly
really
it's just Kiyoshi and Joe, I think, yeah, that are the problem. But they're, yeah, whatever.
Well, if you ever need fashion tips, you know, I'm pretty up on the fashion for Japan. But, you know, I'd have to look back on magazines, because I have this big hoard of fashion magazines.
Oh,
and
cool.
I used to have them from 1998, but I tossed all of those, because back then I had a subscription through this Japanese grocery store, and I got Nono magazine.
Oh.
Nono is 217 for me now, but back then I subscribed to it and get them in monthly, and so I've been following up with Japanese fashion pretty well.
But that's good to know, because, we are not just, I would say use the word inept about fashion. So every once in a while when I've had to send you, for example, Mitsuko, who's supposed to be kind of thug at heart, but tries to be kind of the hot girl. And I'm like, I should send you pictures, and I'm like... I don't know anything but punk fashion. Like, literally, I know. And it's just kind of like the plaid skirt.
Like, half-assed
like
punk fashion.
Yeah, like it's just...
I do know punk fashion, too.
Oh, good.
In case you're interested.
Because my punk fashion is also just bad. Like,
well, and I know Japanese punk fashion, because I had Kara magazine forever. And yeah, so... I like different types. And Gothic Lolita, and yeah, so...
You know, you should talk a little bit about your day job.
My day job as a comic book artist... Yes, I work with Yen Press on Solus, a manga adaptation of Solus, which is a novel by Gail Carringer. It's part of the Parasol Protectorate series, and it's like on its fifth book now, but I'm on my second, trying to catch up. And it's a direct adaptation, so it's pretty close to the books if anybody is interested in reading. And that's all I do, period. Like, besides... shower and eat. That is all I do. So, yes.
Well, it's serialized, which is...
Oh, yes, and it's serialized. That's yeah. That's the schedule, right? In Yen Plus magazine. And it's a chapter a month, so about 28 to 35 pages a month. Yeah.
That's a lot.
And not just comic art, but incredibly frilly, elaborate comic art.
Yeah, giant like Victorian dresses and bonnets. And she was showing us pictures of a French hat shop with like 90 different kinds of amazingly detailed hats in the background. And just the opening chapter of Solus, they had a fight in a library. And you could see each individual book in that background. It was so detailed. I mean, for people who obviously have... Ood and Odd over the Tokyo Demons illustrations. Imagine that level of detail in pretty much every panel of a comic. That is literally what Solus looks like. And also, it's a really solid... You know, Victorian romance isn't really my thing, but I really liked Solus. I think you did a really great job.
Well, it's classified under romance, I think, like... What was it? Supernatural romance or something,
yeah.
I think, is what the Protectorate series goes under, but... I would say that it's comedy. It's Victorian comedy.
It is a bit, yeah.
Because it drops the romance after the first book, pretty much. and becomes more of like an adventure comedy sort of series. So it's a lot of fun to draw, especially since I'm not too into romance so much, but yeah.
And yet one of the only reasons we send art back to Rem, besides the fact that occasionally, you know, there are slight technical issues, like, oh, it's this time of day, not this time of day, I'm sorry, I didn't mention that, whatever. Occasionally we send it back because we're like, this is too sexy.
Sexy is different than romance, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too sexy. Yeah, so there was definitely a picture where ISA was like 30% too bootylicious, and it was just like, oh, yeah. Guys.
I was like, what prudes?
Well, we feel very strongly about the way that sexuality is used in a story, and also kind of the visual cues of sexuality, because sexuality is very different from sex. It's very different from, like, a sexy image. They're all sort of separate ways of looking at kind of sex in general, and there were certain ways that you drew parts that would be interpreted stylistically as something that we didn't really want it to reflect, even though it wasn't necessarily, like, for example, when you were saying too bootylicious, like, not that we want ever to imply that a girl who has junk in the trunk is inherently more sexual than someone who isn't, but sometimes when it's drawn like that, unfortunately, it's used as kind of a visual shortcut to imply something. And that's a standard that kind of exists without us, that we're kind of hyper aware of because we've worked in manga for so long, and also the way women are presented in manga. Yet, when we asked you to do the sexy shot for book two, with everybody making out, we're like, just, you know, we're really happy that you had, clearly you were more than capable of doing a very sexy shot for us, which is like, now we kind of want it there. Mm. Although we do tenderly tell you to turn up the awkwardness a little bit more, because we really like the...
Leanne can't write things that are sexy that aren't also wildly awkward.
Well, not with teenagers.
I guess this is true. No, I misspoke. It's definitely a conscious decision on her part.
Yeah.
So,
well, in Solace, I'm very much encouraged to have it very sexually charged.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Sexually charged from, you know, the perspective of characters that are very confident in their sexuality.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're adults, you know, and they're after booty all the time, and like everybody. So working with awkward teenagers is not what I do. So you're right, I do need a little coaching as far as that goes.
Well, the end result is perfect. It's exactly what I think. That shot of from book two where ISA is making out with someone. That you can't see his face because it's a spoiler.
Mystery man.
the look of slight terror on her face is really perfect, and that's what we wanted. So any criticism we have for Rem is like, oh, this needed a slight adjustment for the second draft. That's the worst we can say. And I think that once... We do have more adult characters coming in, particularly in book two and that sort of thing. Particularly ones who are more sexually confident. And obviously, if we ever need you to do a really kind of sexually charged, without the awkwardness thing, I know you're more than capable, because Solace is a sexy book. I was, I remember when I was reading it, and I was like, Rebecca, come here, check this out. And Rebecca's like, whoa! And I'm like, so we know what? Nothing we've asked has been too much, or anything.
Anyway, that panel of man-ass.
There's a lot of naked people in Solace enjoying each other's company.
Yes.
I was telling her this earlier, that the way she draws Joe kind of depends on, you know, Joe is a young character who always likes to act that he's older, but when he's out of his element and he gets kind of freaked out, all of a sudden he sort of looks his real age again, and that's something that you actually capture in the illustrations. In the one where he's got pictures where he's got swagger sort of thing, he actually does look older than the ones where he's got a look of terror on his face, or even the makeout picture that she drew, he definitely looks a little bit more like a teenage horn dog, which I really enjoyed, because your work is so contextual that even though you have all the character designs and stuff, the facial expressions change so much, which is partially why it's such a joy to see your interpretation of things. And I've definitely changed the text sometimes to match your illustrations, because you did them all first.
Oh, okay.
And particularly since that the chapter two, the picture of them in the closet tied up, the sexually charged shot.
That was fun.
I really, you know, originally that was like a full-blown closet, and I think I might have sent it to you as a full-blown closet, but then you did it in that locker, which was like so much better. So
I thought you meant like a utility locker. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Which actually wasn't what I meant, but when you gave it back to me, I'm like, well, maybe I should give her less direction, because when she does it, it looks so much, and that kind of claustrophobic sense. Was so good. And a lot of the times, particularly in the earlier ones, when I was telling you, oh, be a side view or a front view or whatever, and then you would be like, well, I thought maybe this perspective would be better. Your idea is always much better than mine, because you are so used to working in the visual medium.
Mm, I'm grateful for the faith that you have in me. Not all of my clients have had any faith in me, and it's like, I have been doing this for a little while. It's okay to trust my decisions. You know, people have their vision in mind, and I'm really glad that you're happy with what I do.
Well, Turkey Demons is supposed to be kind of a living novel that I feel very strongly about getting outside influences on it.
Mm.
Partially because it's serialized, and partially because as a, you know, long-time editor, and Becca as well, we fully believe that you need well more than one set of eyes to make something good.
Right, right.
And particularly since we are taking influence from a lot of different people, and the commenters, and you, and each other, and our friends who are and the audiobook cast, like people who are interpreting their characters differently, all of this is affecting the way that I write.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels so much better when I have all these different brains working at it. And yours is a very good visual element to it, because one of the things that I've always struggled with is describing setting and like some of the visual stuff. It's something that I had to force myself to start doing as an adult. But when you give me these beautiful dynamic shots with these great backgrounds and all these people, like, you know, there's claustrophobia, or there's kind of this action shot, or crazy perspectives. It really adds a lot that I can put into it. It kind of makes a picture in my mind that I can then describe.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Awesome. So I know that audio is definitely not the best medium for doing this, but is there any way you could give us a very brief overview of sort of the process you go through when you're doing an illustration?
Well, first, after reading the description, I'll usually do a rough sketch on paper. Or do small, very small, like as small as the surface of my thumb even, just really little layouts to compose the picture. I'll draw the faces a little bit to get an idea of what face I should do, or the composition of the body. Just, you know, taking what's in your head and putting it on paper. Then once that's settled, in the case of yours, I did it all digitally. So I used SciPainter, which is really cheap, but very intuitive Japanese program that's like a mix between Photoshop and Corel Painter. I go in there and on, I think I used A4 paper, size paper for you guys, or Surface digitally. I do a blue sketch of the layout that I did the layout in my sketchbook of, and kind of just set it up there. Then I'll usually do a tighter sketch over that in another layer, and start inking the sketch. I usually start with the characters and have a very rough drawing of the background on a separate layer to work on later. So once I've drawn the characters and they're all finished, then I'll fill in the background and ink all of the background. And once I have the whole black and white image done, then I'll go in with the toning, which is pretty much in digitally just like coloring it, only it's all monochrome black and white, and add any effects afterwards. That's pretty much the whole process.
Cool, no, thank you.
Like right, I said, right. I can talk about technical things pretty easy, but...
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. I mean, I will admit some of it goes over my head, but if we have artists in the audience, that's probably going to be something of most interest to them. It's so neat to actually, you know, like I said, audio is not the best for this, but actually getting to see sort of parts of the process, like when we get sketches and that sort of a thing. It's always so interesting to see to see these things when they're only half done, and all the little parts of the process that go into it. So as sort of a closing question, do you have a character that is your favorite to draw so far?
I know I do, but I think it's kind of... Well, it's like I have favorites, so Joe is the easiest for me to draw. He's very easy to draw, so I guess, you know, it's hard not to be partial to the character that's easiest to draw. But I think I like Kiyoshi best. Like, I like drawing him a lot. I like his face. Like, I put a little more care into his face when I draw him. And
it wasn't just me, since when you sent us those character designs, I was like, okay. Because Kyoshi's always been my favorite character.
Mm.
But when you sent me the picture, I'm like, okay, Rebecca, is he hotter subtly than everyone else?
I didn't know I was making him hotter. I just enjoy drawing him.
Well,
more.
She wrote him now as hotter than everyone else.
Yeah,
so,
that's another thing that changed in the text, that he was sort of one of the we like to call stealth hot, the people who are kind of, they don't take any care into their appearance, but if you clean mm-hmm. them up, they'd be incredible.
Yeah, I did see that. When when I was drawing him, I guess I felt like I was most attracted to his personality, so as a result, I wanted to draw him more, and I enjoyed drawing his face more. And Ayase, I like her personality too, and she's fun to draw. I like drawing her cute little girl body, like, you know,
yeah.
You know, being tied up or whatever, you know. It sounds so perverted, but it's like, she's so adorable, you know, and skinny and little, and it's like, it's fun to draw characters like that. I'm used to drawing these big busty women.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Her soul is, so yeah, Ayase is fun to draw, but yeah, I think I like Kyoshi best.
He has beautiful eyes, when the hair is not covering it, which I think is even better. Like, so he's like,
he looks like a sad puppy or something.
Yeah, that's actually the words we use to describe him.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
The puppy dog eyes, yeah.
Yeah, he's like a kicked puppy. Like, the more the story goes on, the more he's the kicked puppy.
Oh, but, I like that priest guy, too. I really enjoy drawing him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really know much about his character, I don't think, but yeah. But I was like, this guy's wacko, so I liked him. He was interesting.
He's a little different from all of the black-haired teenagers.
Yeah.
So. Yes, that's true.
And I think when I had sent, he wasn't even in the story yet when I sent you the descriptions. Mm. And yeah, he is kind of wacko. You actually
hit
the nail on the head with that kind of like weird almost page cut that nobody actually has, except maybe people who wear, you know, robes all day.
They don't.
Yeah.
People who cut their own hair in the
yeah.
mirror.
So yeah, thank you all for listening. Thank you very much, Rem, for coming and being with us, and it's been really, really great actually getting to hang out in person.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I'm happy to see Canada.
Canada's happy to have you. And we are looking forward to coming down to see you in Texas as well after this, because once you have been talking to someone over email for like 7 years and you meet them in person, I feel like the ice is kind of broken and now we should chill.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you all out there for listening to this and supporting us, and we'll be back after chapter 6.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.